from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is The Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. My name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Now here's a question. I don't really listen to our own show, but do you think that whenever people hear the intro, welcome to the Good Atheist, people get kind of excited and be like, I wonder what the show is going to be about. Yeah, excitement. I sure hope so. Because otherwise I'm thinking, maybe I need a more exciting intro.
What, like some kind of bloopity-bloop music thing with...
Well, I already have that, but it's I'm thinking of changing it. Mm-hmm. I mean more like, how does one do an intro to generate excitement?
I don't know. Just so long as it's not like that Discovery TV show where it's like, tonight we talk about fossilized gases. And blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah. Oh my God, we are talking about fossilized gases. No, we're totally not talking about that.
That's just nonsense. No, I don't know. I don't think it really matters. I think people like us because there's not this big intro thing. There's only the intro where we talk about the intro, and that's all we ever talk about at the intro. And then we move on.
This
and people
is
are probably
time,
generally happy about it. No, I usually criticize you for the way that you handle the intro.
I thought you were done doing that. That was bullshit.
No, I said that's what I used to do.
Oh, right.
Are you saying any future changes? I'm just like, I think it's good. Yes, it is. You want to talk about something personal?
Sure.
Okay. What would you like to talk about?
I would like to talk about the fact that today was a bit of a stressful day for me.
Oh, it's been a bit of a stressful day for you all year. Your 2010 is the year of the vagina.
Well, let's just say that, you know, when I get up this morning and I check my bank account and I find out that someone's been making fraudulent transactions on my credit card.
Oh, isn't that always fun?
Yeah, that's a great day. That's a good start to a day where you're like, oh,
you should
fuck.
Feel good that you caught it, though, because that's the key thing.
Yeah, it's true. Well, I have been a bit late. It's like 3 or 4 days. Luckily, there's almost no money left on my card, so I was actually kind of surprised that the thief in question didn't actually kind of like...
Yeah, do you know, more.
Get caught. By saying, like, your card's been declined. Because it's just, like, that close.
Yeah, no, that's my whole thing about worrying about my debit card. Is I'm like, if someone steals my PIN, they're going to get all, like, $12 in there.
Yeah, so but at the same time, you really need those $12.
I do.
So you should be more worried.
And Doritos.
Yeah, you should be more worried than the fucking douchebag who has, like, 10 grand in the bank and doesn't want to get that, you know, lose a couple hundred dollars from the ATM machine. He doesn't need those couple hundred dollars. Mm. Somebody takes you $12... That's not too much.
That's all I got.
That's all you got, man. That's all you got. Anyways, that was kind of like the pissy morning that I had. But, you know, slept it off. Called. The great thing about credit cards is that even though they gouge you to fuck on, you know, interest rates and all this other kind of stuff, at least it's insured. You know what I mean? Like the fact of the matter is I was watching a documentary called Maxed Out. And it just talks about like the credit, credit crisis in the United States. How people are just indebted to credit card companies, and how credit card companies actually target people that they know can't pay back their bills because it's estimated that if you have, let's say, you have a couple $1,000 of debt on your credit card, there's the money that you're going to pay in interests is sometimes up to sort of like 2/3 more than the actual money that you've borrowed. So that essentially we've created a new class of economic slavery, essentially, through credit. And and it was just talking about all the people that fucking kill themselves over their debts and
I always find that hilarious because here's the thing. I can understand killing yourself because you got debts to friends. But debts to corporations, it's like, fuck off, Visa. I don't give a shit.
Exactly.
It's like, I'm
live off the grid now, man.
I'm going to feel bad that I owe Visa, quote unquote, money.
Live off the grid. You know, it was funny because actually a couple of months ago there was a big stink because an economist was basically telling people to just walk away from their houses, just to fucking abandon them and say, well, you know what? This was brought on by the banks. Fuck them. Fuck the banks.
Yep.
And everybody else was saying, like, you can't do that. And, you know, people need to take responsibility for their actions. And, you know, of course, in the back of your head, you're thinking, okay, that's logical.
But at the other end of the spectrum,
you're like, what can people do? Really,
people
literally.
Take responsibility for their actions. What actions are these exactly?
Say, taking mortgages that they shouldn't have taken.
Yeah, but that's a very small percentage. That is an overblown.
Well, I wouldn't say necessarily it's a small percentage, but people make mistakes. I don't think they should be punished for the rest of their lives for those mistakes. That's my only thing. You know, I we're humans, man. We're stupid monkeys.
Here's the key
we make
thing.
Mistakes.
They were paying their mortgage. Their fucking houses ceased to have any value whatsoever by no fault of their own. And now they're stuck, what, paying into a house that there's no reason for them to pay as far as like a fiscally sound reason?
Well, houses are not fiscally sound to begin with. I know a lot of people think that, but trust me, when you take a 20-year mortgage on a house, you've paid more than double its fucking value. This is not an investment. It's just that if you're going to spend the money, usually you might as well own what you spent your money on, but if you think it's an investment, unless you're buying it fucking cash and you're turning it around, it is not an investment. As long as you can understand that it's not really an investment, I think it's all right. But I think that was particularly funny that I wish I knew who the economist had said that, because I was just like, yeah, fuck yeah. I mean, didn't you watch Fight Club? Hells yeah. Hells yeah, man.
Walk away. Bring the system down. No, please don't. The American dollar is worth so little already, and we get paid in American funds.
It's true. Back in the days, man. Back a couple of, like, what, a year and a half ago?
Yeah, back when we started this crazy rigmarole.
It was actually, it made sense, you know? We switched the American dollar because we're like, well, we're going to make 30% more money, and now we deposited a check just the other day for, like, a whole bunch of months, and it was, like, $700 total. We have $5 on that from the interest rate. $5 on $700. I'm like, oh my God. It's horrible. Please, fix your economy, guys. Fix your economy.
God damn you, Obama.
Okay, on today's show, we're going to actually, it's going to be heavily focused on homosexuality, because we're going to be talking about there's the trial in California to challenge Proposition 8. And we're also going to be talking about Great Britain and the efforts of the Vatican to stop a proposed bill that would, sort of help against discrimination towards gays and people, transgenders, and so on.
An equity bill across
the board.
It's
what it's literally called. It's called an equity bill, and they're against that. But first up, let's actually talk about in Haiti, there's a Baptist group that have been arrested. Yeah, Haiti's still a mess. Haiti's still a mess. Actually, before we talk, we mention Haiti, we should just be like, because you know what? Even though you think it's just it's probably gone on for quite some time, it's just only begun.
Oh no, I'm not saying oh Haiti like oh I'm sick of hearing it. It's just oh Haiti is in. This is quickly going from bad to worse. And it's just getting more and more confused, and I keep on seeing a lot of it having to do with these religious fucking buzzards that are descending on the island.
Oh yeah. Well, first there was the remember the 80 Scientologists that came down to give touch therapies and that kind of stuff. I mean, them being there literally prevented other doctors, other real fucking people that should be there from going, which is just fantastic. But
I'm just wondering how that kind of thing actually happens. You know, because you got to figure that there's a pretty, you know, they got the airport they have, and it's got to be pretty strict about what comes in and what goes out, and you got to imagine that somebody must have looked at what was coming in.
It's no, actually, that's the surprising thing about it. I mean, I was reading this article, and I think it was The Guardian, that mentioned that there's a lot of people that just basically decide to go down. They have no plan. And when they arrive in Haiti, I mean, they're there, and
they're in the way. And they're
not only are they in the way,
they're taking resources, eating, drinking things,
taking blankets, and they're usually given preferential treatment because
they're white.
They're white,
yeah,
from North America. You can't let a white person die. That's outrageous.
Yep.
So, anyways, this group of 10 missionaries from a Baptist church, a small Baptist church in Idaho, decide that they're going to go down and take 33 kids across the border to the Dominican Republic in this makeshift hotel that they wanted to basically, you know, run as an orphanage to adopt all these kids that were childless, parentless. Now, here's the problem with that. The vast majority of the children that they brought with them, they were not without parents. And they were told, actually, by the missionaries that they were going to go to it was like a vacation or something like that. They weren't truthful with them. They weren't telling you, we're taking you away from your parents. They lied to them. Toss them in a bus, then try to go across the border with no papers whatsoever. And then they're surprised when they get arrested and thrown in jail. They're like, what's going on? We're just trying to do the right thing.
Well, I can understand, because look at it like this. This is a North American's view. You get to Haiti right now, especially after the earthquake. I mean, even before, there's discussions in Haiti about how to bake dirt into all of your food to make your food last longer. That's the situation in Haiti before the earthquake. So now you got people coming from North America to Haiti. They look around and go, my God, this is hell on earth. Let's rescue these children and take them somewhere better.
And take them to a Christian nation.
What is the Dominican Republic, quote unquote, Christian?
No. They didn't want them to stay in the Dominican Republic. It was a stopover. Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
I'm not entirely sure what their plan was from going from the Dominican Republic to the U.S. I don't even think they knew themselves, because so far they've been pretty tight-lipped, other than saying that they are thirsty and they feel that the conditions in which they're under isn't exactly that great.
Yeah, I love this, because here's the thing. These guys got arrested for you know, child kidnapping, basically.
Child trafficking, actually.
There you go, yeah. Child trafficking. And right now they're talking about how they're being kept in quote-unquote inhumane areas. They're basically complaining about their cell, which is just a square room with quote-unquote no air conditioning.
That actually sounds pretty sweet compared to everybody else that is under rubble. Or not even... One of the things that Haiti's been asking is that they want, in terms of donations, they want, I think, 200,000 tents. Because the rainy season is about to start in May. Now, they've received 3,000 tents.
Jesus Christ! What is fucking Wyclef Jean's organization doing? Can they not just handle the tents? Can they not do that?
Anyway, so these prisoners actually have shelter, which is pretty damn good. Here's the thing. I don't think even they realize what the conditions really are like in a devastated country. They just go over there thinking, we're going to save these kids. God is on our side. Watch us go. And they don't realize a couple of things. Number one, I mean, you know, what do you think is really best for a kid? Sure, you could say, we're going to take you away from this hellhole and we're going to give you a good life. But you know what? When you're 7, 8, 9, which is some of the ages of these kids, and you go to another country and basically kidnapped, you really feel that you're going to have a good life? You're going to wonder for the rest of your life, where are my parents? Who the fuck are you people? What is going on? Now, if you think the best solution for Haiti is to take all of its children away, I got news for you. I don't think that's the best thing in the world here. This country needs to get itself out of the horrible shithole that it has. You don't do that by taking, you know,
the next generation away
and saying, well, abandon this country because it's fucked. Who cares? I mean, the saddest thing, too, is that a lot of parents are actually thinking about giving their kids away because they're like, they want to give them a better life.
And right
too.
Now, there's a big run on Haitian kids at the adoption thing. It's like, adopt them all. Adopt a Haitian kid. Yes.
But you know what? After this incident, what happened was the president basically declared a moratorium, which is to say that he now has to approve every single adoption, because the fear is that these kids are going to be sort of kidnapped and trafficked, not by sort of stupid Baptists, but rather by the sex trade, which was already a huge problem in Haiti. Because what had happened is that in the rural areas of Haiti, a lot of the parents were sending their kids to the urban centers, hoping that they would get a better education. But essentially, those kids would become indentured servants to their, far-removed family, and sometimes even just sold, sold for cash. This is what happens in poor countries, everybody. Not everyone is a nice person, or even if they are nice, they need food.
You have hard decisions that you have to make when there is no safety net.
Right, exactly. When you're eating dirt. When you're literally eating dirt. We should make sort of like one of those, Iron Chefs with Dirt, the Haiti edition.
Yep.
Here you go, Iron Chefs. Take this dirt and make the most fantastic, tasty meal, because that's what people have to eat all around the world.
Here's how you're able to suck all the nutrients out of a chicken foot. Enjoy.
Man, chicken foot, that would be like a fucking feast, a chicken foot, man.
Yeah, chicken foot's like a pretzel that never ends. You just chew on it forever. It's like a pretzel meets beef jerky.
Oh, that's disgusting. Now I want to vomit. But you know what? I think that the hilarious thing is one of the... I don't want to say the head of this religious order, because like you said before...
What,
I
are
mean,
these Baptist
guys,
people?
No. I was talking about this guy called Max Beauvoir, who's the head
Max
of this...
Max Beauvoir. I like his name. Is it Maximilian Beauvoir?
Probably.
I like
who's
that.
The head of the Hades Voodoo Priest Association, was complaining about these religious organizations that come down there and basically, you know, it's kind of like, do you believe in Jesus? Here's a fucking, you know, chicken leg if you do. And I know that not every religious organization is like that, you know? They're made up of people, and mostly people are good, but they're also delusional people.
And there's a whole bunch of good people who are also tactless, and they just don't get it.
Yeah, exactly. Or the real problem here is that, look, it's like Christopher Hitchens says, religion poisons everything. That you're not just thinking that you're saving them from hunger, but you need to save their souls. And, you know, that's hard on people when they already have their belief system and you come over and saying, well, your belief system is wrong and this is why your country is cursed. Now, just believe in Jesus and everything is going to be okay. Now, for the most part, most of Haiti already believes in a certain form of Christianity, but it's combined with their voodoo witchcraft. And, you know, to Christians, that's like right away, especially American Christians, they are scared shit of witchcraft, which is funny. Because witchcraft does exactly nothing. You know, it's like a bunch of useless rituals that have no effect. But it scares the fuck bejesus out of Christians, let me tell you
It should scare the fuck out of everybody, because witchcraft is what we've been talking about over in Africa that causes everybody to set everybody on fire and murder children and do all sorts of other horrible things.
Well, this
is just another... It's just ignorant religion to the next level.
But the funny thing about that witchcraft... is say when you're using example in Africa, is that the reason why they're setting people on fire isn't because of their traditional beliefs. It's actually because of the conflict.
The new vengeful God version of their voodoo mysticism?
Just because Christianity disapproves of witchcraft, and since witchcraft is ingrained in their culture, that the religious side has a scapegoat. So they attack. They use the fear of witchcraft because, you know, there's always fear of witchcraft in these types of countries, but now they have like they have documents from the Bible that says, well, you should kill witches, and this is it's a disastrous combination. You have a culture of witchcraft and shamanism, and then you introduce Christianity or Islam, which is violently opposed to these traditions. Guess what the fuck is going to happen? It's like a powder keg, man. It's like it's a terrible, terrible thing. But anyways, my last thought that I wanted to say on this is that, you know, there's plenty of well-meaning, you know, Christians out there. And my advice to you, even though you don't listen to the show, is just give them money and stay the fuck out of the way. Stay out of the way. You know, now is not the time for your proselytizing. Most of the time, there is no fucking time for it. But now, definitely now, definitely now. Get out of the way, everybody.
You know, it just sucks that countries need to rely on charities, which as far as I can tell, you know, no dissing charities. I love charities. Someday I figure I'll probably end up working or trying to create my own. But
what would your charity do?
I don't know yet. I haven't thought that. This is my 10-year plan.
Oh, okay.
And at the end of that, it's to start developing that and to look into
what I can
do.
The Ryan Harkness Foundation.
I don't know what it's going to be. But here's the funny thing. You were talking before about how they need tents and they don't have any. Why in God's name? You know those people who put wish lists up on Amazon.com
Christmas, you mean?
It's like some people do it for Christmas, some people do it for wedding registrations.
Yeah, weddings,
but for the most part, it's like, you know, 18-year-old webcam girls who put up their wish lists, and pervy men buy things for them.
Brilliant.
I'm like, why can't Haiti just have an Amazon wish list where it's like, we need 80,000 tents. We need this many cans of spam.
I wish it was only 80,000.
Whatever it would be, because then people could just go and just fucking buy them. And there you go. You got what you needed to get done.
Well, I think you know what? If you're listening to this and you're wondering, how can I help? And for the most part, money is critically important. But, you know, this whole tent issue doesn't seem to be getting resolved. That's what's the most disturbing thing. And they've got 3 months. And after that, like, it's already getting bad. Like, one of the things about a program like that is that at least you're able to create habitats which are nice and dry and all this other kind of stuff. Because when you have no place to live, where there's mud everywhere and a bunch of human beings that are injured, guess what happens? Everybody gets sick. All of a sudden, there's like tuberculosis. Fucking cholera starts fucking spreading around. That's really the aftermath of any disaster is sickness. That's the thing you have to worry about next.
I'm sure another Michael Jackson caliber celebrity will die, and we won't pay attention to it anymore. So when it happens, we won't be watching. So it's no big deal.
Well, you be on that celebrity death watch list, and we'll make a prediction, and we'll bet money on it. What little money we have. Okay, the next thing I want to talk about is I want to talk about the UK, and I want to mention this from the perspective of saying, like, okay, any one of you out there, anybody out there that listens to what the Pope has to say regarding human rights is an idiot. All right, that's my first opinion, because this is the same man who was a Hitler Youth. It's not like as if, hey, man, did you do anything crazy? Yeah, I sniffed coke when I was a kid. You know, like, I could kind of understand that. It was the thing to do. But, I mean, like, when you were a fucking Hitler Youth,
nah, but
and now you were a Pope, and yeah, you could say, oh, well, back then everybody was a Hitler Youth.
No, yeah, but back then, if you weren't a Hitler Youth, it fucking put you into a position that was not good to be in. So I'm not going to fucking say anything about anyone.
That's not true. That's not
true.
I actually read a book that was talking about, because there were lots of Nazis back in the day that really didn't approve of what was going on. But the whole thing was
you were like the Cub Scouts, right?
Well, yeah. But what I'm talking about is, yeah, they were the hardcores. Like, the whole deal was that, you know, as long as you didn't interfere, it was generally not a big deal, because people knew, like, even back in the day, you know why they started gassing Jews? Because the soldiers were complaining that they couldn't shoot any more of them, that emotionally they were just drained. Like, apparently you have a kill ratio that once you reach, you will start to go nuts. And they realized that, you know, even their own soldiers couldn't commit that much genocide, so they had to make it easier on their soldiers. It's just to kind of get, like, you would have promotions. You could definitely move up in ranks if you participated in, you know, like, the madness. But you were by no means forced to do so. That's the story. I mean, I know everybody always says, oh, you don't understand how it was back then. Like, I've actually read quite a few books, and the honest answer, or like the honest accounting from a lot of these Nazis were saying, like, well, we kind of did, but if you wanted to get that promotion, if you wanted to do well, then you got involved, and that's how you did it.
So you're saying that the Pope was involved in the Hitler Youth?
What I'm just suggesting here is that there's a certain amount of credibility that you're allowed to have as a human being just from the get-go. You're saying, like, well, you're a human being, and for the most part, most human beings are fair and decent, but once in a while, you will do something that's not cool. And when you do something that's not cool, I think it's our job as...
To hold people to the
to
fire
hold people,
for it?
Yeah, to hold you fucking accountable. You could say, well, you don't understand, I made a mistake, and I'm like, that's fine. It should bar you from being able to be a Pope. I'm sorry. That is it. You cannot be a fucking Hitler Youth and then say, I want to be Pope. Maybe you can just be a cardinal, and
yeah,
that's okay.
I think everybody generally agrees that Pope Benedict was a terrible choice for Pope.
Well,
after John Paul II, who was so... He wasn't awesome, but man, that guy could fucking sell anything.
Well, you know what? Here's the other interesting thing, too. If you ever read some of his theological arguments, they're very interesting.
John Paul? Or?
Yeah, John Paul. Yeah. They're actually very interesting. Now, John Paul was like a very... You know, he's like a theologian with a lot of integrity. I still find that it's like, I have a lot of integrity debating nonsense, but whatever. You know, like, at the same time, a huge attraction to Christianity is actually in kind of like its theological underpinnings, and it's... And to a large degree, once you really get into the religion, once you're sort of like the higher echelons, there's a lot of intellectually, what's one looking for? The rewarding things, you know? Yeah, stimulating things. I mean, it's an intellectualized philosophy, but only at its higher echelons, like most religions. You know, it's like the same with Hinduism. Hinduism at the lower levels are, oh, there's a bunch of gods and they dictate everything. At the higher level, it's like, there is no gods. All is Maya or illusion. And, you know, and then you get to fucking get on those real heavy trips. You know what I'm talking about?
So it's kind of like Scientology, where at the bottom it's all about feeling good, and up at the top it's...
the mythology.
It's spaceships dropping bombs into volcanoes for Xenu.
Right, except for rather than get more ridiculous as you go up, it actually gets more reasonable as
yeah,
you go up.
Yeah, no, that's true. I have noticed that with most other religions, is the higher up you go,
Well, you need to have like you need to have a I guess a delineation of all religions have elitism. All right, it's no big surprise for me to tell you that. Like, you need something that's satisfying for the intellectuals, and you need a version that's for the plebs, the proletariat, the fucking the idiots,
the masses.
Yeah, the masses who can't handle all of these theological debates.
Like, the American Idol voters, not the presidential voters.
Anyways, so. Enough about my rant about Pope Benedict, because it's getting off subject. But basically, the UK is proposing a bill called the Equity Bill. And I suppose the reason that they're trying to do this is that there's still a great deal of discrimination when it comes to, you know...
Everything.
I mean, it's not like we live in a perfect world where there's no racism, where there's no sexism, and where there's no homophobia. But, you know, the UK government being what it is, it wants to try to do better. And, you know, like, we applaud it for that. I don't know if the bill itself is necessarily going to do anything, but that doesn't fucking matter. It's like a
It's another
it's a statement.
Step forward.
Yeah, it's a statement. And really what they're trying to do through the bill is a couple simple things. Number one, they want to reduce the disparity between wages for men and women.
For everybody.
Yeah,
because,
for everybody.
Because the big reported one was the difference between men and women, which is, in the UK, apparently still sitting at 21%.
21%.
That's a fifth of your pay wage, women. Go out and get it.
I know, seriously. And you said yourself, like, one of the reasons that they don't, like, the disparity exists is it also because women typically don't fight as hard for it. And, you know, that's the whole thing where you're saying, like, oh, well, they should fight harder for it. Well, you know what? You're actually supposed to fight for the little guy. Even if it's the little girl. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, oh, rise up. Minority, which is ironic because women aren't the minority, they're actually the majority, but what are you supposed to do? Anyways, the Vatican has come out against the Equity Bill, most particularly because of their belief that homosexuality is wrong. And obviously what this bill would do is help discrimination against homosexuals and transgendered people. That's part of the whole bill thing.
And you know what's funny is that it's not even a gigantic part of the bill where they you know, put...
Where they lay it out like 20 pages.
Yeah, where they put it in bold and it was a whole section and a bullet point. It wasn't even a bullet point. That thing was fucking tucked away.
It's like we read the bill. It's tiny. It's like just... It's right there with a reference to gender. Right beside gender.
Yeah, it's just like homosexuals are included in this thing to keep people from killing them. Doing other nasty things.
But you know, what the Vatican is saying is basically they're like, oh, you're going to force us, enforce our charities over there to, basically hire gay people or punish us if we decide that, you know, if our orphanages don't allow same-sex couples to adopt children and so on and so forth.
So basically, they just want the right to continue to discriminate against people.
That is essentially it. Like they believe that it is a religious infringement for them to not be allowed to continue to be homophobic, because their religion is like, we believe homosexuality is wrong, and we want the right to be able to practice this open bigotry. Because it's not like just a subtle type of bigotry. It's like a very open one.
It's two men or two women can't raise a child without making them wrong. And condemning them to hell.
Without doing some evil.
That's great.
Now, there's, in conjunction to that, there's the really interesting, that court case where basically, you know, for the whole Prop 8?
Yeah, thing? The Prop 8 court case.
It's Perry versus Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Or V, because they don't say versus. I wish they would.
It's kind of cooler like that. It's more like a fight.
Exactly.
Maybe that's where they got rid of it.
Versus Schwarzenegger. Ding, ding, ding. Schwarzenegger is getting old, so I get Perry.
It doesn't matter. He's still fit, man.
Perry's a really good striker. He's going to work him on the ground.
Yeah, Schwarzenegger's got the strength advantage, even with his old age, man. I'm sure Schwarzenegger is embarrassed at the fact that his name is on this as the side that's fighting against gay rights.
I don't actually know what Schwarzenegger's position on this whole thing is.
My understanding is he's pretty fucked. For a Republican, he's very liberal. He's genius, because this is the genius fucking thing to do right now, is to be a Republican with liberal beliefs, because then you got both sides liking you.
Well, he's a fiscal conservative, really, but a lot of his policies, you could say, like, and his personal beliefs are pretty liberal. I mean, he was a pot smoker, for God's sakes, and he loved it. He watched Pumping Iron. The man loved his weed. It wasn't just like he smoked and didn't inhale. No, 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 no. Arnold loved his weed.
Credited it to the fact that to many of his wins.
He credited it as he described it as an orgasm after a workout. You know, he would work out, have all that muscle heat shit, smoke a doobie, and fucking go flying, man. Go flying. And more power to him, because that must have probably been pretty good, actually. I think I've experienced that once when you like have an intense workout and your muscles are burning, and you feel it more for some weird reason. Anyways, the whole workout high thing.
What's this? You work out and things burn? I don't understand.
You know,
it's kind of like when you go bowling and the next day you can't walk right.
No, that's bad. That just means you're way out of shape. You go bowling and you're sore? That's
hey,
sad.
It was all you can play night, and I played like 8 games, and I don't give a fuck.
The only thing that there I are get muscles, sore is my
there
thumb.
Are there are muscles. Yeah, you're not supposed to jam it in there like it's a vagina.
I know, I just find that my thumb is really, really thick compared to my fingers. So I'll either get a ball where the finger thing's just right, but the thumb's not.
I know.
Or one where the finger ones are loose, and so is the thumb, and it fucking chafes the side of your thumb.
Here's a revolutionary idea, and this is just a side story. We'll move on in a few seconds. But you're not supposed to hold the ball like Fred Flintstones. You're supposed to have 2 fingers in the front and then your thumb cups the outside. And that's what lets you, you know, when you watch professional bowling for 2 seconds on the sports channel before changing the channel, and you see the ball fucking spinning like,
yeah,
that's because they don't have the thumb in it, and that lets them do the curve. I learned that last time I went bowling.
Maybe we should go bowling again, because my only objection to bowling was always like, I don't want my thumb to hurt.
I don't know.
It's like bleeding at the end.
Pope Ryan disapproves because it's slightly gay.
Okay, let's go back to Perry V. Schwarzenegger, because I was reading some of the court transcripts of this whole thing, because, you know, I guess everything that I was reading about it was just basically saying, like, even the prosecution has, the defendants, I think, in this case.
Well, who knows?
Whoever.
The defendants. Even the gay haters.
Okay, the gay haters don't even know why they shouldn't legalize same-sex marriage. Because in the transcripts themselves, it's basically the judge asking the lawyer, saying, like, well, why should the Prop 8 be upheld? What is the danger to opposite-sex marriage?
Yeah, that was the key thing, was he was saying, you guys have consistently said that gay marriage is going to hurt straight marriage. So now you have an opportunity to tell me exactly what you mean by that. Lay it out. And the guy couldn't do it. I don't know whether, because you got to figure they have an answer written down somewhere. It's not like they were blindsided by that.
But apparently they seemed like it.
Yeah, the guy didn't have an answer now. Number one, the coolest thing about this was the fact that the judge was busting this dude's balls over this.
Well, I'm not even sure if he was busting that hard.
It wasn't busting that hard, but this is the great thing about it. It's typically, I mean, you got a whole range of how judges can be and how they'll react.
Yeah,
and
that's
everything
true.
Else
that's
like
fair.
That.
That's fair.
This judge here seems like he's really into
it. Was
it
no nonsense judge?
Yeah, and he's asking the hard questions.
He's asking the hard answers.
He's asking the hard questions and demanding proper answers, which is the key thing, because it's not difficult to ask a hard question, but it's really easy not to fucking follow up if what the person tells you is bullshit.
Well, especially if you read some of the transcript, and you can see how the person is just trying to skip over the question. There's like paragraph after paragraph of this. Mm-hmm. In fact, the main argument that the lawyer has was essentially saying, like, well, we don't know what this will mean, and this is a political issue, and it's still being debated by the public, and then we should just let that play out.
And you'd be surprised, because this is the reason why nobody wanted this case to go to court, is because in general, that's the position that the Supreme Court has taken, was this is still an issue that's being debated by the public. We don't make policy. We just follow it.
Which is a lie, because they do.
Yeah.
You quite clearly make policy. Supreme Court, who fucking lifted the ban on how much corporations can fucking contribute to public campaigns. Oh, you're not involved? You're not making decisions regarding, you know, like important matters? Fuck you. You gutless fucks. That's what they are. Supreme Court is nothing but old fogies that are goddamn gutless. Anyways,
well,
that's
they're not
a different
gutless.
Rant.
They're just not on your side.
They're really not on my side. No, no, and fucking I don't know. I question the wisdom of putting up judges for, you know,
lifetime
for
terms.
Lifetime.
Nobody
back,
should.
Back in the day when they wrote the Constitution, what was lifetime? Fucking 50 years?
But
no it, problem.
There should never be any lifetime jobs ever, ever, ever. It's too. What's a lifetime fucking appointment? That's ridiculous, is what it is. It's practical kingship of your fucking job. I'm the king
of the Supreme
Court.
It's the worst type
of
tenure. It's like tenure times a million, you know? And we had some really... Remember in high school? Remember Miss Snow?
I remember all the bad teachers, and yes,
yeah.
I know
Miss Snow was
tenure.
The worst.
Yeah.
But they couldn't fire her. She was the most terrible teacher. She threw a fucking desk at a student once. Just out of her mind. Like, who knows why she was out of her mind? I don't give a shit.
I'm sure she was on medications.
Teacher. Probably, yeah. She was, well, you know, it was like one of those, you ever see one of those teachers that's severely overweight and no one loves her and no one has loved her for long enough? And, of course, all the students being children are mean and, you know, I'm sure she heard some of the fucking, you know, snarky, oh, that fat bitch or whatever.
I'm sure she went from trying to help to hating their guts faster than a soldier in Afghanistan.
Snizzap. Anyways, the back to the Perry Schwarzenegger thing. I think it's really quite. I'm actually wondering because right now, you know, it's still the hearing for summary judgment, which is like the very early stages.
Yeah,
of everything.
Just the whole one whether or not they're actually going to even look at it at all. And it seems like at the very least that they will look at it because at this point, whoever is in charge of fighting against gay marriage is doing a hilariously bad job, and I'm just so excited about this. Because
well, it doesn't help that the Mormon Church and the Catholic Church were exposed as having contributed a serious amount of monies to help Prop 8 pass, and that's itself sort of like a huge violation of the separation of church and state, and they didn't want that information to sort of be made public. There's actually a documentary that's coming out on it, and I'm sure it's going to blow the lid on that motherfucking shit. I'm looking forward to seeing it. But that was my old, that was my whole point of saying, you know, at the end of the day, the bias towards gay marriage is obvious. I don't know why we're not acknowledging the elephant in the room here.
Well, let me ask you this: the guy didn't have an obvious answer whether or not it's because he couldn't say what he was actually thinking because it would come out bigoted,
right?
Or because he just didn't have his complete, you know, how I'm going to destroy gay marriage and break it down plan in front of him. But yep. I'm perfectly willing to believe that there's no logical reason why gay marriage is going to hurt real marriage, because that's how what I think is that I don't think that it does. But what are these? There's got to be, like, at the very least, if there's not an irrational idea that people have about how it's going to hurt, there's got to be like a monkey brain idea in the back of our head, some kind of thing going on, like some alert bell ringing.
Well, there is. Like, one of the most important things that I've come to realize, especially, you remember a couple of, a month or two back where I was complaining about having had a panic attack, right?
Mm-hmm.
The thing about that panic attack, it really made me realize one very important thing, that you are not a rational animal. You are rather a rationalizing animal. Like, for the most part, every decision that you make, if you were to take a scan of your brain when you were making a decision and see what part of your brain lights up, and, you know, you got your cerebral cortex at the front of your brain that's basically for higher reasoning, logical skills, and all this other kind of stuff.
Your no seatbelt airbag.
Right. You have your limbic brain, which is basically your emotional brain, it feels things like anger, which itself is actually just anger, for instance, is just merely the amygdala in your brain getting swelled up and releasing all kinds of chemicals that make you angry, frustrated, so on and so forth. It's a hormone that's in your brain that produces lots of the different types of emotions that you have. And then you have, you know, your medulla oblongata, the fucking lizard brain, the one that controls your heartbeat, breathing, all this other kind of stuff. Now, if you were to take a scan, say you had to make a decision, an important decision, and one that you were debating over, if we were to take a scan of your brain, the first areas that would light up is not your cerebral cortex, it's actually your limbic brain. Your emotional brain lights up first. So when you have a decision to make, it's an emotional reaction first. And then later, what you notice is that that's when the cerebral cortex becomes activated. Once the limbic system has. So in other words, your logical brain gets activated once you've already made a decision. You are rationalizing why you were doing something. the opposition to gay marriage is a rationalization of an emotion that people have towards homosexual marriage, which is to say, I disapprove, I don't like it, I think it's wrong, it's unnatural, or whatever whatever justification. The fact of the matter is they hate it.
It just
they hate gays.
It tingles unnatural.
Yeah, they hate gays. They can't help themselves. But everything else is merely a rationalizing of that fact because, you know, for the most part, no one wants to admit that they're a bigoted fucking jackass who has no logical reasons for what they believe. So instead, they kind of take this position saying it's going to ruin marriage. Now, obviously, when they're brought to task on this fact, they're like, well, I can't answer why it does. But
it does.
But it does, and it's up to, you know, a gays to prove that it's not going to cause any harm. Now, I like what this one guy was saying, basically on the site where I was reading the transcript, where he says, no, that's really not up to gays to prove that it's not going to cause any harm. I mean, you could take the same attitude with, say, freedom of speech. Freedom of speech does cause harm sometimes, but that's just the price you have to pay for things. You know, like the right for individuals to dictate for themselves, to have the same legal status as others, even if it did cause harm, that's irrelevant. The important part is that you're not discriminating towards people or limiting the rights of other citizens. That's the fucking first and obvious, you know, issue that you have to deal with. Mm. To turn around and say it's up to the other side to prove that it causes no harm, what ridiculousness. You haven't even proved that it does cause harm. Why would anyone need to prove that it doesn't?
Nobody can even take the reasons that you say it does cause harm and test them because you don't even have them.
They're non-existent. I mean, it's a paranoid fear of how would same-sex marriage affect, you know, heterosexual marriage. The answer is it wouldn't. It's just a justification.
Here's one of the things, though, that I wanted to bring up is that I'm not sure whether or not this is, you know, this is obviously a religious issue because they've codified it into their fucking manifesto, and thank God, because it's going to bring down all religions. I love it. I love the fact that they are caught on record. This isn't the 50s anymore. It's not like this information isn't being stored on some magical internet somewhere. It's not, we got it. We got it for good. Everybody will know exactly everything that was said from every quarter about this. It's going to bring them fucking down.
But, and you know what? We're going to be the good guys in that. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
We're on the right side of fucking history. Feels good.
But this whole thing comes from just the fact that everybody was indoctrinated from fucking, even from 1990 going backwards. When was any time that you heard anything positive being said about any gay people whatsoever?
Dude, watch old movies whenever they make reference to homosexuality. It's very uncomfortable. You know, it's like you won't laugh at those jokes where all of a sudden it's all like, what are you, a gay? And all of a sudden you realize, you know, that might have been funny back then, but it was only because of this really deep-seated homophobia that everybody had. You know, it's kind of, it's not like the percentage of people that are gay was different back then. They just had to stay in the closet. And now that they're out, everybody's really upset about that shit. Mm. Nothing has changed except for the fact that they're now confident enough to come out and say, not only am I gay, but I want to fucking marry that dude. Or I want to marry that girl.
One of the earlier transcripts that I was reading from the court case, all fascinating stuff. Normally, this stuff, I try to keep up with it, and about a day or two into it, I'm like, oh, this is awful. But this is a really interesting court case. It's like every day gives you at least one kapow, suck my dick, you motherfucker, anti-gays. One of them, they had a conversation where they were saying that, you know, you can't listen to the poll results because these people have been indoctrinated with anti-gay bias by society for the past, you know, however long. I'm sure it didn't get less bad further than 50 years back, but they showed tons of cases from like the 20s right up until now showing, look at this, society being anti-gay for no other reason than it just being anti-gay. They're the new fucking beating horse.
Yeah. There's always a minority that you're going to pick on. My only worry is that once everybody sort of like gets over their homophobia, they might just come after us atheists. We might be the next whipping boys.
I'd love it. That'd be a great battle. It would be awesome for that to come to a head,
true.
Too.
And you know what?
The quickening.
We're going to spearhead that battle. Okay, well, you know what? I think we should wrap it up. Before we leave, I'd like to remind everybody that if you love the show, we do have a bonus a show that we charge $20 a year for membership.
If you love show, we have more show.
We're up to now a bonus show number 40. And actually, what I'm working on in the next couple of months is I'm going to try to get it on iTunes, get it so that if you want to just buy even individual shows, you'll have that option. But we still want to give membership as an option for people who are saying, like, well, why would you buy all these shows? I mean, if you buy 40 shows, it would be cheaper for you to get a yearly membership.
It would be cool if we can let you cherry pick the topics that you actually want to listen to.
Yeah, exactly. The way I figure is that and maybe you want to just spend a couple bucks or whatever. I'll take your couple bucks. I'll take it. Also, the exciting thing, we are introducing shirts for the Good Atheist. I mean, we've got so many requests from people saying, like, when are you going to get shirts, that we no longer had to deny them. We're going to do a very short run, kind of an experiment with the shirts. We put up one of the designs already on the site, so you can go on and see if you like it. If you do like it, you can just email me and
or comment.
One of the things that I'm asking, if you guys really want to buy shirts, email me at jacobforte@gmail.com. Tell me what sizes you're wearing, because the honest truth is that's the biggest issue. On small runs, I'm not sure what sizes I should get. We had that same problem with Fightlinker.
Well, we've done it a couple times, because I used to throw raves, and ravers are all tiny, so I had all these tiny size shirts when I started making Ultimate Fighting t-shirts, and then I found out that they're all beefcakes. So I don't know what Atheist would be.
We have to assume that it's not the same as the MMA crowd, because all those guys are much larger. But mm-hmm. I don't know if you're all skinny fucks or if you're just, you know, fat keyboard guys that just never get up. I don't know. You got to tell me. So let us know what kind of sizes. You don't all have to do it.
How much does an Atheist weigh? we'll tell you once you tell us.
Right. I would very much like to not release a shirt that everybody wants, where the sizes are no longer available.
And I'm also very interested in knowing what the cup size of all the female atheists out there are. So if you want to send that to me, ryanharkness@gmail.com.
Yeah, please don't do that.
Go
ever.
For it. Do it.
Don't send him anything.
Why not? It's feminist if you do, somehow. You're making a bold statement.
You're making a bold statement that you don't care about, you know, revealing intimate details of yourself to a complete stranger.
There's nothing...
Intimate about cup sizes?
No, not at all. It's out there. That's the whole difference between guys and girls.
What do you mean it's out there?
Look, girls, their boobs on the outside looks exactly the same. It's like you could tell the size. With a guy, you never know what's down there.
It's
could be
mystery.
Gigantic. It could be tiny. But girls, it's all out there right immediately. There's no secret.
No wonder they're so fucking worried about it. If our penises were out there, we would be messes. We would be a mess.
I just wouldn't let anybody see me when it's cold.
It's always cold here. This is Canada, man.
It is.
It's cold all the time.
It is. My penis has retreated somewhere up into the inside of my abdomen.
I don't even remember what it looks like. It's so cold out here.
What, my penis?
Not yours, mine, fool.
Okay, then.
It's how cold it is. Jesus. You got some problems.
It's just what you said, man. I just wanted to clarify for the listeners that you didn't see my penis enough that you would regularly remember what it looks like. Oh, it's been so long since I've seen Ryan's penis.
I wasn't referring to yours. I was referring to mine.
Exactly. I was just clarifying it. Anyways.
Thank you for clarifying that, you homophobe. All right, we'll catch everybody on Thursday for the bonus show. Until then, my name is Jacob Forte.
I'm Ryan Harkness.
And have a good Atheist Day, everybody.